voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We have been talking about what's happening in Nigeria. Apparently, Nigerian lawmakers are trying to create a bill that can jail people or give them steep fines for lying on social media. Critics are calling it censorship. They are saying, according to Nigerian senators, they're saying that they're finding that this epidemic of false information, quote unquote, fake news, is becoming a real problem for the country and an unbearable. Senator Musa says it's not an attempt to stifle free speech. It's an opportunity to address growing threats in our country that could disrupt peaceful coexistence. Now, part of this social media bill would be to crack down on dissent and to use fines or jail times for spreading what authorities decide is fake news. Police could arrest people whose posts are thought to threaten national security, sway elections, or diminish public confidence in the government. The senators who are in the who are backing this bill are saying that look at the United States of America, which is why they decided to put this bill up for discussion, because they're finding that in America, lying on social media has become a real distraction and disruption. And this bill is inspired in part by what the U.S. State Department dubbed weapons of mass distraction. I think a lie can be considered a weapon of mass distraction. But we got to go back to that piece one of our wonderful callers mentioned, that when a lie serves as a clear and present danger, that there is a cause and an effect, then we really do need to look at making a way, either by law or through punishment, that the person that is doing the lying is held accountable for their actions. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Leo Barrows out in Bolton Hill. Leo, thank you, sir, for your patience. What's your take?
Brother Faraji Muhammad, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
My concern is that the Nigerian government is talking about promoting a dictatorship. I know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they want to promote a dictatorship.
It could be.
If they want to get some help in that, they should hire Donald Trump as a kind of a counselor. I mean, he's masterful at fake news. And he also wants to create a dictatorship in the United States. You have to brand social media as an instrument of public expression or opinion. That has to be officially stated. If it's not so stated in the United States, it needs to be so stated in Nigeria and all over the world. Social media, an instrument of public expression and or opinion, which means that it's on those who are the recipients of social media, who view it, listen to it, respond to it, have to understand that it's incumbent upon them, the burden, the onus is upon them, to prove their allegations of obscenity, profane and abusive language, threat to the national security, whatever it is. Now, in the United States, we have a Federal Communications Commission.
Right.
But they've elected, for the most part, and you're closer to this than I am, but for the most part, they've allowed deregulation to run amok in the United States. So with social media. Social media is simply
Social media is you know, Leo, you and I know this, that they're trying to get control of social media.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? That's why they bring the Mark Zuckerberg and others who are at the head of it.
Right.
To Washington, yeah. D.C. For privacy issues. But see, there's still no concrete law.
Yeah.
And there's no concrete amendment that considers the power of social media. I really think social media has emerged as the fifth entity of this country.
Well, ours is a government. It should be a government of, for, and by the people. We are the government. We are the government. It's simply that we don't know that we're the government. Many of us don't understand that this experiment in democracy is simply that, but we should strive to hold these elected people who we allow to stay in office far too long accountable, and we don't. And that falls upon us. So I say, be very careful about threading the needle so that it's balanced. The preponderance falls in the hands of the government to regulate and control and dominate to the extent that they become a dictatorship and a self-perpetuating tyranny.
Well, I think the other part, and Leo, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you so much for checking in. I think the other part of it is that, unfortunately, distrust in the government is so high in this country that even if the government allowed a separate, independent group of people to serve in this capacity of managing and serving as the kind of the governing body of social media behavior, we still wouldn't believe them. We'd be like, no, I'm not even going to believe them. Let's go to Dwayne in Baltimore. Dwayne, what's your take on this? And then we got David, the two Davids out of Gwin Oak and Owens Mills. Dwayne, what's your take, sir?
Hey, man, thanks for letting me ride. Hey,
absolutely.
My take is that basically, you know, it's just a matter of time before the House of Cards crashes.
Hmm. Okay, explain some more, Dwayne.
Well, you know, listen, one of the great lies of our society, okay, is that it's equality for all and everyone has equal opportunity and blah, blah, blah. You know, that's really a lie because, you know, all the opportunity that is passed down, you know, to us common folks is passed down to us through the aristocracy. We elect lawmakers who decide what opportunities that they will allow us to take advantage of as dictated by the aristocracy that controls everything. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have this House of Cards type illusion of freedom and objectivity and the ability to select, but it's really under the auspices of those who control our lawmakers who are bought and paid for by Wall Street.
So it's interesting because, like, for example, former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, has decided to run for president. He bought a lot of money. He put a lot of money into a week's worth of ads that will be running all this week about who he is and all of that. Many of the candidates are criticizing Mr. Bloomberg simply because they're saying this is exactly what we're talking about. You have a billionaire coming in to buy his way into office. And so when I think about, you know, what's really at stake, it's like now democracy is for sale. And unfortunately, if you have the biggest lie and the right amount of money, you may be good. You may be able to get your agenda the furthest, or your agenda may be fulfilled very quickly in America. Is that the place that we're in, Dwayne?
Oh, absolutely. And if we can put it in its proper place, democracy has always been for sale. Okay, it's just that now we're just accepting it and saying, okay, it is what it is.
Gotcha.
It's always been that way because democracy has always been dictated by the tenets of the aristocracy. The aristocracy bought the church. The aristocracy have bought and paid our lawmakers. The aristocracy has bought and paid for media. And now those three entities together, you know, dictate to us how we live and how we should proceed. And the people are just caught in the middle. Well, the people aren't even caught in the middle. The people are just on the bottom. And to add insult to injury, we actually worship the aristocracy. We worship them. Oh, God, they're rich. They must know what they're talking about because they're rich. They must have a better idea than what we have because they're rich. That's America. That's what we do.
And that's a lie.
Exactly.
That's a lie. Dwayne, appreciate you as always. Thank you so much, brother. Let's go to David in Gwin Oak. David, what's your take on this, sir?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
The previous caller is exactly right. You know, this systematical arrangement of lies and corrupt and deceit is based on the principles of the democracy that they call a democracy. It's all based on that because,
right.
You know, we are educated, and the education system is a part of it too, you know, because our babies and everything are raised under these lies and deception. And that's why they're able to exert this power over our people continuously, because it's in the religious system, it's in the educational system, it's in the social system, you name it, it's there. And it's all woven into place by this systematic arrangement of how we are raised in this society.
But that's does that remove the responsibility of the individual to be honest, to be more truthful? Because, I mean, it's like an old saying, you get what you deserve. And I feel like as part of, you know, as much as we have this conversation about people that are above us, richer than us, all of these things, at the end of the day, this is still a fundamental human behavior.
Yes, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I really do feel like, David, that we love to be lied to.
Absolutely. That's my point. That's my whole point. We're programmed to this feed, and we suck it up, and we enjoy it. And not only that, Horazi, we promote it because we believe in a traditional, ongoing sequence of images that produce more lies.
There it is.
And they help to raise, you know, our children in this deception.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we're living it. We are actually living it, and we don't see that, you know, we have to disconnect to reconnect to something truthful and honest and real. You know, we don't see that.
So that's true.
As long as we buy into this conditions and situation is never going to change.
Mm, David, that's from Gwinnett, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for checking in. David H., Owens Mills, what's your take?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Roger.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think a couple points that I really feel need to be emphasized, especially I'm a 28 for people my age who sort of grew up in the era of social media.
Yeah.
The first mistake that people are sort of implicitly making is trusting news that you find via your social media feed.
Yeah.
There are two big reasons that I say that. The first is just the format of any given social media feed. If it's Facebook, if it's Instagram, it's Twitter, whatever it may be. The platform is designed to reward you for intaking as much content, i.e. scrolling as much as possible. Advertisers don't get paid on Facebook or IG or Twitter or whatever if you are on one page reading a complete article for 12 minutes.
Mm.
When you're viewing something for 15 seconds, when you see a headline, say, oh, that's crazy, and you know, either click it and then another headline pops up in your feed right below it that looks a little bit more interesting. So you read, you know, six sentences of the first article and then click down below. That is inherent to the nature of any given social media platform. They're in the business of selling data, but also selling clicks for advertisements.
Yeah.
So when you actually take time to, you know, read an article start to finish and intake any of the nuance of a specific story, advertisers aren't getting paid beyond, you know, that initial click.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the nature of any given social media platform inherently discourages examination or nuance, i.e. like fact checking.
And David.
The second part of that is, again, just with the theme of we want to keep you clicking so we can keep selling these advertisements, you are algorithmically suggested content that corresponds with your political views, your religious views, things you've done, you know, may have read or clicked on in the past.
Yeah.
And any given social media platform mines your data, mines your friends' data. They mine, you know, the history of what you clicked on. They mine your demographics, your geography, and from there just sort of build a profile to suggest you content that you already agree with and already resonate with.
Yeah.
So if you're getting your news from social media, by nature, you're only going to be getting a specific set of opinions that resonate with you that you click on. So you're not going to be getting a balanced picture.
David, I appreciate you for that breakdown because you're absolutely on point. Check it in from Owens Mills. Yes. On point. The unfortunate part about it, folks, is that we don't mind to be used as a tool. And because we don't mind to be used as a tool, we don't question these things, right? We don't critically think about these things, right? Because that's that. And David, you're absolutely right. When you just constantly scroll, it's like you're almost like in a state of, it's like you're in a trance. You're just scrolling. You're doing it subconsciously and getting to that place. You're getting into a space where you're not thinking. And then when you finally stop, your brain is still going. Your brain is like still scrolling, even though your eyes have stopped. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to Angel. Angel, very quickly, I appreciate you for checking in, for your patience. Do you think it's time for us to have some real conversations, some laws on the book about the lies that people tell, especially on social media platforms?
So I have a twofold, and it's kind of in response to Dwayne and also David H. that just spoke. So first, in response to Dwayne, I would argue that we do have equality in the United States of America. The issue is justice is the interpretation and application of equality and what it looks like on the outcomes. Have you ever seen the picture of the three people at the window and they're different heights, but their box is the same height? That's equality. We all have the same thing, but sometimes that box, you can see out the window.
Yeah.
But for another person, you can't. So what justice looks like is giving people what they need to be able to all see. That's the interpretation and the application mm-hmm. of equality. So that's in response to Dwayne. Otherwise, I thought what he said was good. Now, in response to David H. and the laws that we need, one thing that I like, and I feel like it's gone away on Facebook, there's something where they would do the fact check right under the article.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've ever watched Adam Ruins Everything.
I love that show.
They cover so many different topics.
Yeah.
And one episode, they submitted to a journal where they could pay like $20. They submitted a viral title, something that was sensational, and the whole article was actually the script of the show. And they were allowed to publish it, and it looked like it cited it. It looked like you could cite it and everything. And
wow.
You actually read the article. So like David H. was saying, it's just for the headlines. People aren't really reading the articles. Now, myself, I studied psychology at Morgan. I know how to read a study. Everyone doesn't have that knowledge because they come around and they say things. One of my biggest pet peeves is the studies on, like, marijuana use. It's like, have you actually read the study and do you understand the subjects that are being used and why they're getting the numbers that they're getting and
sure.
why they may not be getting the full truth on the effects of marijuana.
Sure.
Right? So, because like recently one came out saying, oh, young people are having strokes if they're smoking. They've been through that. But they didn't want to do that because they wanted to legalize it first. So they didn't want that out there.
Yeah.
That it was bad because they wanted to legalize it. But that's a whole nother issue. People don't know how to read that study. But what we have to do, okay, is one, everybody should have had some government class, but if you want to change the system, you have to become a part of the system. You have to Trojan horse the system.
There it is.
You can't change it from the outside. You got to get in and maintain, because we do get some people in, and unfortunately, money is, you know, money can sway you, but you have to maintain what you came to do. And also bring people with you. You have to
sure.
reach back and
sure.
have that fortitude and bring people with you in order to make real change. Because
that is.
Unless we're the ones making the interpretation on what equality looks like, it's going to look like what they want it to look like. Because my truth and their truth are two different truths.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Angel, I thank you so much for checking in, being one of our Morgan State University psychology majors. You're right. It just requires us to be critical. Look, folks, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to get an update from Reverend Marvin McKestry. As the brothers are about to embark on their walk tonight, we're going to get an update about what areas you can check them out in and how you can continue to help this movement of black men and men from across the country, across the city, that are looking to stop the violence here in Baltimore. Also, we'll be talking to MSU student sociologist Breland Brooks to talk to us about what would you do, how far would you go to make a new friend. Stay riding with us. That's coming up in the final 30 of For the Culture here on WEAA. So welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. Now it's time to check in with my big brother, Reverend Marvin McKestry, as he is one of the many brothers who are out there in the streets of Baltimore continuing the great walk to stop the violence in the city of Baltimore. Reverend Marvin McKestry, how are you, brother?
Well, we give out jobs for people. Y'all look like y'all 18 to 24. And you ain't never come see me. Right there.
Marvin, you with us?
Hello?
Yeah, Marvin. I hear you work wheeling and dealing, sir. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. We wanted to kind of give you this the opportunity for updates, and we're going to try to do this every week so we can keep the city abreast about what's happening with his brothers. Brothers are taking a walk to stop the violence in the city. Of course, you talked about giving out opportunities and resources and jobs. Talk to us. What's the latest, big brother?
Man, I have seen the essence of commitment tonight. We have well over 100 brothers with us tonight in spite of the big game coming on.
Yeah.
And all of the other things that can tend to be distractions. Man, the men of God are out tonight.
Yeah, I hear that.
We packed the church. I put a couple of pictures up on my social media already. Just marveling at the response. Like I said, even with a big home team game on tonight, the men of God are out because they that committed to this work, man. I'm just blessed to be amongst these committed brothers and to be able to do this work, man. I'm really overwhelmed.
Right, right. And Brother Marvin, what part of the city are y'all in tonight?
Right now, we at North and Drew Hill, crossing over, heading up to Penn North. When we get to Penn North, we're going to hang out up there and just try to engage everybody that we can.
Yeah.
As you heard when you first came on to me, I had a group of young ladies that I was standing there and was trying to talk to about some resources and information. And, man, we just out here tonight, man. I keep saying I'm just a little overwhelmed, man, by the response tonight and the men of God coming out in the way that they have.
That's what I'm talking about. And so this is going to be from what time to what time, Brother Marvin?
This one, well, I mean, every time we out, we normally lead the church after our safety briefing and our information and resource sharing at about 6:30, and we normally out till 7:30, close to 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, so we out here, man, like, this is a spectacle on North Avenue.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, for real, because of the consistency of the Mondays and Saturdays, it's not a spectacle anymore, man. They're looking for us.
They're looking for you.
They're looking for us to be out. They're looking for us to come out. A young lady said she was scared to walk up North Avenue because of sex traffickers.
Mm.
I told her, come on and walk with us, man.
Mm.
They be in trouble, they try to get you tonight.
Now, I hear that.
Yes, sir.
So we know that it's getting colder out there, right? And we highly encourage the brothers and those who are walking with you to dress warmly. But it's getting colder the final few weeks of the year. What can folks expect over the next couple of weeks as we get into holiday mode, as the weather gets colder? What's the energy going to be like?
God bless us with a beautiful night tonight, man. So Saturday was a little colder,
Yeah.
And the men weren't deterred, man. We had a 95-year-old man walk the entire almost 2-mile route with us.
Wow.
On Saturday.
Wow.
A 95-year-old man. People, like I said, people just committed, man. The winner, we ain't worried about the winner. The winner got to worry about us. I put up a post on Facebook today that said, murder ain't worrying about the big game. So I need all the men to come out. And sure enough, the response is here, man. I thought we was going to take a hit because of the game.
Yeah.
You know, murder ain't worrying about the cold.
Right.
So, but it need to be worrying about us, man. They really do. I see commitment on another level with this movement. The continuation of it, we had, when we asked for new brothers tonight, we had about 20 men raise their hand that's brand new to the movement. And, man, the energy is strong, and it just continues.
Y'all brothers met at St. Martin's Church of Christ right there, 2118 West Madison Avenue. And we want to thank them for opening their doors to be a part of history tonight, to hosting
yes, sir,
all of those brothers, all of you brothers out there. And you're doing this on Mondays and Saturdays. And I know that the conversation is continuing to be what? What's the pillars of this demonstration?
Let's save lives. We got substance abuse resources. So far, we put 33 people directly from this walk into a car and went straight to detox.
Mm.
We have another mental health partner that joined us tonight. We got 73 people so far to count. Employment opportunities directly as a result of this walk, 73. So we offering opportunities and resources to people that are real. They come, we engage them on this walk today. They come to my office tomorrow. By Wednesday, Thursday, we got them interviewing. And sometimes by Friday, they in orientation for a new opportunity. So,
wow.
Man, it's just cut to the chase. You know, we
yeah.
are eliminating the red tape and the middleman and making it happen. And like I said, the community is looking for us, and they're very responsive to what it is we're trying to produce. We had men that joined us during the route and walk with us, and it's just a beautiful and awesome thing to see.
Yeah. Is there anything special that you brothers are planning on doing as it gets, you know, this is Thanksgiving week? Folks are going to be, you know, out shopping come Black Friday. Anything that you want to share for the city and for people to keep in mind?
The two things, the special thing about it is we're going to be consistent. Regardless of the holiday, we will be out Saturday. We're going to be up Church of the Redeemed of the Lord up on Old York Road. I don't have the exact address.
No problem.
But we're going to be up at Church of the Redeemed of the Lord
on
Saturday at 12 o'clock. Old York Cater. What we don't want this to do is to become an event. We want it to be a consistent movement, man. We got brothers showing up 2 times a week right now, like they going to their job or going to employment. That's how committed, faithful, and dedicated we are to it. And then we probably right after Thanksgiving, we'll be starting Thursdays in South Baltimore.
Wow.
We connected with a few pastors down there.
Wow.
And we looking to bring the work down to South Baltimore. So we'll be up to 3 days.
Wow.
And every time we talk about adding another day, the men aren't deterred. They're excited.
Monday, you're in West Baltimore.
Keep this energy going, man.
No, this is fantastic, Brother Marvin. Monday, you're in West
yes,
Baltimore.
Sir.
Starting next week, Thursday, you will be in South Baltimore. And then on Saturdays, you are in East Baltimore.
East Baltimore. Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
And like I said, the people loving on us out here while we loving on them, man. It's really just about love, life, and resources, man. Having something tangible to offer.
Yeah.
And the people are receiving it and receiving us, man. We got mothers that's out here breaking down crime when they see black men in the streets rising up. But we got men of all ethnicities that's committed, a committed part of this movement, man.
Yeah.
And like I say, I sound excited because I'm just a little overwhelmed, you know, with the response tonight.
No, this is, and you know what? We're going to be right there. We're going to do our best to provide this platform for you and all of the brothers, Brother Marvin, as you are continuing to build.
I'm taking over. This is Andre Bunley.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Bunley, what's going on, big brother? How you feeling?
I'm good, brother. Just out here with about 125 men right here at the corner of Pennsylvania and North Avenue.
Come on, Doc.
Yes, sir.
So, tell us, Doc, what is it that you want the community to know right now? Because you've been out here from the beginning. You've been leading the charge, but you got so many men, so many different guys, brothers who are coming from different backgrounds and everything. We're in a very, very critical time in our city. What do you want them to know right now, Doc?
I just want them to know, man, that if we come together, our unity is more powerful than an atomic bomb. Literally, when you have us and all our men coming together, all we got to do is just come together, man. And so what I want folks to know is that when we have people who are coming together and they're unified, particularly black men, and we're not excluding it. We have white men out here tonight, but black men have to understand that if the problem of Baltimore is going to be solved, it's going to be solved because of the positive and constructive behavior of black men.
Yeah, it is.
If you don't believe it, if you look at the statistics last year, when you just look at the thing that is most precious, and that is life. When you look at the life, we lost 309 people to murder. Of that 309 people, 275 were black men.
Wow.
When we found the perpetrators of those crimes, those were black men.
Wow.
And so our mothers, if they could have fixed it, they would have fixed it by now. So we know that black men have to step up and fix this first. And we got to have 10,000 men, because that positive and constructive behavior cannot occupy the same place.
My goodness.
Of negative behavior. Negative behavior got to go.
Hey, Doc, is there anything that you want folks to do to help in this effort? Do you want more church leaders to open up their doors?
Yes.
Do you need people to bring some food and some water? What do you want them to do?
Basically, we're good with all of those other things. The only thing we need churches and organizations. If you have men under your charge, we ask you to send those men to us so we can expand to 10,000. We are doing this in shifts in different parts of the city. But can you imagine 10,000 men going out through Baltimore at the same time under the various leadership citywide? That's the goal.
Yeah,
Baltimore is 82.2 square miles. We need the whole city blanketed with individuals who are positive and constructive. Then we can have those other individuals, other than the men, to begin to assist us in the ways that they can assist us. Then people can get in where they fit in.
Hey, Doc.
But right now, we got to have men mobilized.
You got it. You got that word out. More organizations, more churches, more doors need to be open to bring more men into this great and mighty work. Doc, we're going to check back in with you brothers next week, because we want to make sure that we give you a weekly update from you for this work.
Yes, sir.
All right?
We appreciate you.
Hey, appreciate you, Doc. Dr. Andre Bunley, Reverend Marvin McKenstry Jr., checking in to give us an update about the Brothers Walk. We got to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to be checking in with MSU sociology student Ms. Breland to talk to us about the cost of buying or finding a new friend. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture here on WEAA. Wow.
I do this for my culture.
Peace. Welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, man. Oh, man. All right, folks, for our final conversation tonight, this is a very interesting conversation. As always, we try to bring you the interesting stuff here on For the Culture. But this one is really, I mean, it's like very interesting. The situation is this, folks, that we're finding that as much as we have all of this technology, as much as we have all of these opportunities to network, according to a study from the Kaiser Family Foundation survey, they did a survey back in 2018, they found that 2 in 10 Americans report they often or always feel lonely. Adults younger than 50 were more likely to feel that way than those 50 and older. Can you believe that? Adults younger than 50 were more likely to feel that way than those 50 and older. 60% of those lonely folks said there was a specific cause, and the most common answer they gave were death of a loved one, physical or health problems, being away from family, and divorce or separation. Now, looking at the landscape of this, we're finding that because there are so many reports of loneliness, many people turn to various means, whether it's social media, whether it's through what they call like these dating apps that are out right now that are really popular. But then there is a new emerging trend that's starting to happen. And the trend is you pay somebody to make a friend for you. This is what is happening in such cosmopolitan places such as Washington, D.C. They have a Washington matchmaker by the name of Michelle Jacoby who arranged meetups for folks to become BFFs, best friends forever. And guess what, folks? She charges people for the service. And guess what, folks? It's not cheap. Here to give us some insight into this new phenomenon is a student of sociology here at Morgan State University, Ms. Breland Brooks. Breland, thank you so much for coming in and being a part of this discussion.
Hi, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about this, because I was talking about that Kaiser Family Foundation survey.
Mm-hmm.
It also said that 58% of Americans have an increased use of technology as a major reason for feeling isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Remote work has been steadily rising. And then in another survey, 2016 Gallup survey, they said that 43% of U.S. employees worked in a different location from their coworkers at least some of the time, up from 39% in 2012. Americans are staying single longer. The median age of first marriage is 30 for men and 28 for women, up from 23 and 20 in 1960. What is going on with bringing people together here in America?
Okay. Well, it's a couple things. So there we study, I've studied classical sociologists and contemporary sociologists, and I can speak to this specific case from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So from a classical perspective, there's a sociologist named Emil Durkheim, and he speaks about how as society continues to evolve with different innovations like technology and things like that, we go farther and farther away from what he calls our collective consciousness. And our collective consciousness is our innate selves, our true essence as humans on this earth. And it was this transition from mechanical solidarity to organic solidarity and organic solidarity. And during mechanical solidarity, society was much more interconnected because they had to depend on each other for survival. So whether it was hunting, gathering, or tribes and different things like that, where every person played their role for the success of the civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we've evolved, we've reached this organic solidarity state where people are more differentiated, less concerned about the other person, more concerned about what their specific task is. They're in the labor force. We find that people, just like a long time ago with the assembly line where everybody has their specific task, and
yeah.
So you're not really as concerned about the next man. You're more so just concerned about what you have to do and then moving on to the next. So that takes us farther away from that essence of just being a part of a community and knowing our role and knowing our true kind of essence as humans. And then another side of that is this sociologist named Karl Marx, who speaks about...
Never heard of him.
Karl Marx speaks about the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. And the bourgeoisie are the owners of production, and the proletariat are the laborers. And it just essentially says that the laborers will continue to be exploited until they realize their power and overthrow the bourgeoisie, right? And so it's saying that when the proletariat continue to be kind of manipulated by the bourgeoisie, they're being blinded from their true essence and their true power. And so it creates this thing called false consciousness. And with false consciousness, the proletariat gets lost in things like commodity fetish. And commodity fetish is when you're caught up in, oh, I have this, I have that, and so I'm okay. Even though I may not be as living my truth as much as I know I should be, if I can pay my rent, or if I can buy this Mercedes Benz, or if I can, you know, just make ends meet, then I'm fine. You know, I don't have to worry about everything else going on. Or not everything else going on, but just what truly makes me happy as a person. And so when you get farther and farther away from your true essence, you start to feel lonely. When you feel like there's nothing really connecting you to who you truly are.
Yeah.
And
so, this is wow. First, let me just say wow. Because I feel like this speaks volumes about where we are. This false consciousness you spoke about, commodity fetish. Have we allowed? And it's like we have. We're trained. We see the wall coming, but we push the pedal more to go faster.
Right. Like, you kind of don't want to face the truth or the reality.
So you know that, you know, when you're like, because I hear a lot of people, especially young, you know, millennials and everything. I hear a lot of people, they say, well, I need to take, you know, a break from social media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so you recognize that this is kind of taking you in a very, very isolated space.
It can be toxic, yeah.
And toxic, but then at the same time, you're like, also, like you feel like, well, I need to take a break, but I can't be away for too long. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of this weird relationship.
Yeah.
So now we're in a space where people are literally hiring another person to get them a friend. Does this reek of desperation?
I would say it's sad. It's sad that we've gotten to a place to where we cannot just find a genuine connection with another human being, for whatever the reason is, you know, whether it be social media or divorce or loss of it's just sad that we feel like we have to have all of these walls up.
Do you, I mean, as you're seeing through social media, you're a sociologist, and you're thinking to yourself, it seems like I see a lot of memes about distrust, especially when it comes to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people do not trust other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, are we at an all-time high when it comes to distrust among human beings? Therefore, that's why folks are like, you know what? I saw this one meme, Breland, when I saw this lady was like crouched up in the bed holding her phone. She was like, and the meme was like, oh, all I need is just a glass of wine, my TV on, and my phone. I was like, and then the person like, they, like, shared this meme, and it was, like, the perfect Friday night. I was like, the perfect Friday night? My perfect Friday night is not cuddling with my phone. Bump that.
Yeah.
That sounds like, that sounds real pathetic to me.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Yes, I said pathetic.
Well, I could say it's just that we are just, with the involvement of society, with the evolution, it's like we're just getting farther and farther away from that genuine connection. And it's like we'll go to, I don't know, it's like we're almost not even really caring or cognizant of it. Like Karl Marx said, false consciousness. Like, it's gotten to a point where we're not even really acknowledging it for what it is.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like we're just going to continue to abide by whatever makes us feel comfortable at the moment.
So what is the impact of this type of behavior? I mean, when you have to go out and you feel like you cannot make a connection, there's only a couple of things that could potentially happen to a person like that, right? Like, either you could continue to go into the space of isolation, or you can kind of wake up from this false consciousness and to go out into the real world, right?
Yeah.
Or is there another path that we need to take?
Yeah, I mean, I see that. In sociology, we call this, it's a term called anomy, and that means either you are too connected with society or you're too detached from society, but ultimately you feel this sense of normlessness. It's kind of like this feeling of isolation, like we're talking about here, where you feel lost in society ultimately. And so I feel like that's what's happening. I think it is a way out. It's always a way out, but it just takes the right person to say, hey, this is bothering me or this is not right, and I want to see it go in a different direction, you know? I don't even have social media. And
really?
I don't even have it. And that's part
of the reason. No IG, no Twitter, no Facebook.
Nothing. And that's part of the
reason
why.
How do you live, really? No.
And I'm living just fine.
So do you feel like you're missing out on anything?
Sometimes. But then I'm brought back to reality by people that actually have social media. And they're like, you know, honestly, you're not missing anything. It's a lot of people just stunting, a lot of people just kind of posing, doing what they think is popular or doing what they think is going to get them the most likes, not really being their true, authentic self. And so when I talk to those people, I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I'm just better off without it.
Right, right. Because, when did you make that decision to to totally, like, detach yourself from it?
Yeah, I was in high school.
Wow.
I was 16 years old, and I felt it early on. I used to be into, like, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. I used to have it all. And I just got tired of feeling, I would feel depressed. I would feel this sense of, like, sadness because I would be looking on people's pages and just comparing them to myself and feeling bad about who I am.
Mm.
And so I just decided, hey, I don't even want to be a part of this anymore.
Where is this? What is going to be the end result of this? You know, like where are we heading right now, based upon what you studied and kind of tracking our evolution as people, especially people in this country?
Yeah,
we were talking about in the first segment the impact of lies on social media. Where do you see this thing taking us? Are you optimistic or pessimistic about it?
I can say I'm optimistic because I do believe that positive change and impact is always there. But I can say I don't know how it's going to come about, or I don't know when it's going to come about.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that life is cyclical. So I do see this coming to some type of shift. Eventually, ultimately, but
do you think a major event has to take place to kind of wake people up from the false consciousness as a whole in mass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it kind of goes back to what I was saying about Karl Marx and
the
proletariat just kind of waking up and realizing, hey, this is not my true power. This is not where my power stands. My power is so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking the proper steps to kind of seize that power, you know. But of course, we're living in the 21st century, so it's not just about, you know, pitchforks and all of that, but seizing your power mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever that means.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, Breland Brooks, I appreciate you for giving us some insight on this. This is very interesting. I feel like this is just the beginning of a larger conversation.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, you know,
we can talk about this forever.
I'm sure. So we have to bring you back. We have to bring you back to continue other elements of this conversation. I was going to ask you how you want people to find you on social media.
Yeah. About that.
Really, thank you so much for being on For the Culture here on WEAA.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. I want to thank my fantastic production team. It's Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, Tyler, and my man Dre Day for making me sound so good. Make sure you stick around. Up next is LaDawn Black, who's going to be giving us some insight about what we can expect for In the Groove. So thank you, Breland. Appreciate you so, so much. And we have the voice herself, Miss LaDawn. LaDawn, how are you this evening?
I'm fantastic, Faraji. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm not used to this
you're
video
not, you're
aspect.
You're not too used to this.
Oh, Raymond, we got to get the hair straight.
Really? Okay. Really, LaDawn?
I mean, that's...
Come on, LaDawn.
Y'all
stop
are so
playing.
Sophisticated. Y'all do sophisticated stuff.
You know what? First thing, you need to stop with your voice right now, because people want to think about love.
I haven't even given you the full voice yet. This is the warm-up voice. You want the full voice?
No.
Because y'all were talking about something serious.
We talked a little bit about social media. Yeah. And connecting. You know what? This is perfect for you. No, LaDon, this is perfect for you. We were talking about how do you establish genuine connection, because I'm sure you heard people are paying people to get them friends.
Wow. Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with anything that the young lady said a few minutes ago, because she was dead on.
Right.
But we are absolutely in this culture where kids just don't know how to relate to each other. They don't know how to sit across from each other and have a conversation.
Right.
So you need someone to step in and help you.
Just like you do in a dating world.
Exactly. Because we don't know how to do that either.
Right.
So if we're not swiping left or right, it's like, do I go over there and say something? Do I have the homies go over there and say something? I don't know how to do that.
You don't know how to do that.
So it's unfortunate. But yes, I understand. But if somebody will pay you to do it, I say make your money.
Did you ever have that problem talking to people?
No. But you know what? I'm one of those. I'm going to sit and wait for you to come over.
Oh, that's what you do?
We're going to sit and wait.
You're just going to sit and sit.
We
got to
see how bad you want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to come over. There you go,
there
ladies. That's the tip.
There it is. Nancy about to bring. She's just warming up right now. What can folks expect on In the Groove this evening?
You know what we're going to do? We're going to go back and we're going to play some of your favorite music, of course. We're going to have a bit of conversation.
Mm-mm.
And we're just going to give them a real radio show. How about that?
Well, my goodness.
Did the mic just drop?
The mic just dropped and exploded on the floor. LaDon Black. In the building.
There we go.
Going to give
I
you
kind of
some...
like this.
I don't want to get beat up,
so let me stay over here.
LaDon Black, make sure y'all check her out. In the Groove, that will be starting momentarily here on WEAA. LaDon, I'm gonna be tuning in.
Well, thank you so much for Roger. Give me a few minutes of your great show.
You know what? Whatever. All right, folks, now I'm done. I want to thank Ms. Mallory Pinker, Pierre, Alex Blanc, my man Dre Day for making me sound so good. And, of course, my production assistant, Tyler. Thank you, Tyler. And, of course, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me in the conversation, both online and on air. Make sure you check us out at WEAA.org. That should be your favorite website where you can get all the news and information, as well as all your podcasts of your favorite episodes of For the Culture and Today with Dr. K. And that's at WEAA.org. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM. And absolutely the voice of the community. Stay tuned. In the Groove with LaDon Black is up next. Peace.